You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. As America moves itself into the era of President Donald Trump, we've wondered what that new reality will mean for groups who were singled out for special attention and criticism by our new president. American Muslims would certainly be on that list. So we turn now to Dawood Waleed, who is executive director of the Council for American Islamic Relations of Michigan. Welcome back to Stateside.
It's wonderful to be here.
So heading into this Trump administration, with all the Islamophobia that the campaign stirred up, what are your biggest concerns?
Well, we have two concerns on the individual level as well as coming from the government side. So from an individual level, we have seen within the past year or year and a half, ever since the election cycle started up with the primaries, an increase in hate crimes against American Muslims all throughout the country, including some incidences that have taken place here in the state of Michigan, as well as increased school bullying. So we are concerned, and if the rhetoric continues in singling out, or not singling out, but including Muslims and other groups that are being vilified or treated as somehow a fifth column or an American, that the hate crimes and the bullying will increase. We also have concerns from a policy perspective. We've had issues of profiling of American Muslims, of invasive religious questioning from Muslims in airports crossing the border back from Canada, and as well as visits. People had the FBI come to their homes and ask questions, which included questions about First Amendment protected activities regarding political views as well as religious views. So we have concern that under President Trump, that might actually increase.
When people report hate crimes and incidents of racial and religious intimidation, what kinds of things are they reporting?
We've had, like most recently, there were two Muslims in Wayne County who had cars vandalized, racial slurs spray painted on their cars, as well as Nazi swastika signs. There was an individual that was apprehended and arrested regarding that. That's one of the type of issues. We've had issues of road rage to, you know, other issues in schools of telling people that they should go back to where they came from, go back to the Middle East, go back to Africa, things like that.
You're saying that the numbers of incidents seems to have risen in that past year and a half.
Oh, it definitely has, yes.
Definitely has. What are you able to do for people who call you, telling you of one of these kinds of incidents? What can you do for them?
When it comes to actual hate crime incidences, we have good relationships with local law enforcement agencies in particular, and we help facilitate communication between victims and law enforcement. And it also does help when prosecutors and law enforcement know that there's an advocate behind an individual, that we tend to think that that helps them maybe be on their toes a little more regarding these incidences.
Someone's watching.
Yeah, exactly. And it works the same way with bullying and harassment cases in schools, that when we reach out to school districts and school boards and launch our complaints and our concerns, it not only has helped in many cases expedite certain things pertaining to the investigations and proper disciplinary actions, but more important, diversity trainings and sensitivity trainings, where the schools then bring in outside entities, sometimes it's us, in which we do trainings to teachers and administrators about what to look out for regarding bullying, but as well as cultural and religious sensitivities relating to Muslims.
Dawood, tell me about the FBI and its work in Muslim communities in Southeast Michigan. I know you travel around to mosques in the region just about weekly. What are you hearing?
If I can just put this in perspective, when we just had Martin Luther King Jr. Day, not long ago, a national holiday, and many people tend to forget that it was the FBI who wiretapped Martin Luther King Jr., spied on Martin Luther King Jr., and even tried to extort him to commit suicide. And some of the same tactics that the FBI used during the McCarthy era and during the counterintelligence program era of actually recruiting informants and actually looking at activists and even trying to get people who are known activists or leaders in the community to actually give information about religious organizations, ethnic organizations, that still happens to this day. That has really never stopped. What we saw in our office really right before the election, there was a spike across the country in which FBI agents were visiting American Muslims. And of course, again, we have a lawsuit pending against the Federal Bureau of Investigations right now pertaining this, where American Muslims have been asked questions, and more specifically right here in Michigan, questions like, Do you pray? How many times a day do you pray? You know, what mosque do you attend? This has absolutely no place in our country, and really it is treating First Amendment protected activities as a predicate to potential criminality or a national security threat. And this is why we're suing Homeland Security and the FBI for violating the First Amendment rights of Muslims here in Michigan.
From what you've seen and what people are telling you, what kinds of activities or factors tend to elicit and draw the FBI's attention?
Well, over the years, there have been different factors. We saw, like, for instance, right after the Arab Spring, countries that began to have their revolutions, the FBI would then go and question certain activists or community leaders about their political activities. Like, for instance, when the uprising against Gaddafi in Libya, people said, you know, they were asked, were they for or against Gaddafi, for instance. Similar questions have been asked particularly about Syrian Americans, even including those who are raised here in Michigan.
What do you tell people when they're approached by the FBI?
We give them the information and we tell our constituents, not just people who call us, but we go to mosques all throughout the state and we tell people that they have the right not to speak with any law enforcement without the presence of an attorney. And actually, if they don't want to, they don't have to even speak to them directly. They can speak through their attorney. And we at CARE Michigan, we have attorneys on staff and we have specialized with this for years without any charge to our constituents of doing these FBI questionings. Really, for the most part, 3 out of 4 cases when someone's contacted by the FBI and then they say, oh, well, you know, contact our attorney or contact CARE, most of the time they don't come back. And this is why we view much of what they have been doing in the last 5 or 6 years has been basically fishing expeditions.
The FBI does have a tough mission, a tough job to keep America safe. How could the FBI do that job better, in your view?
I think the FBI could do its job based upon the actual empirical data and what communities they focus on. If we look back at the last 20 years of domestic terrorism statistics of who actually has been involved in plots or committed domestic terrorism, the overwhelming majority of those people aren't Muslims. But see, the FBI tries to have its counter-violent extremism program or special outreach for the Muslim community. They don't have special outreach for people in Michigan that are in militia groups, for instance. They don't have special outreach around the country for people who are evangelicals who maybe have white nationalist leanings. They won't go to Dylann Roof's church, but then they'll want to come to a mosque. So we think that a lot of this is really pushed by politics. But we understand that the Federal Bureau of Investigations has a job, and we have no problem with profiling people based upon behaviors. But those behaviors should not be religious practice, and it should not be based upon race, ethnicity, or national origin.
What about U.S. Attorney Barbara McQuaid and her team?
We've worked with U.S. Attorney Barbara McQuaid's office. They actually were part of a lawsuit that we settled with Pittsfield Township. The Justice Department is involved in a lawsuit against Sterling Heights right now regarding a similar issue pertaining to zoning issue like in Pittsfield Township, in which Muslim institutions were blocked unjustly based upon religious affiliation.
The attempt to have a mosque in Sterling Heights.
Exactly. So in terms of that type of religious bigotry coming from local governments, in particular the zoning issues, or even them seeking out to enforce hate crime laws, you know, we applaud Barbara McQuaid's office. However, in a few problematic cases relating to the FBI and dealing with the American Muslim community, in which we believe the FBI has done some acts that really border on or we think is basically entrapment. You know, Barbara McQuaid's office also supported the FBI in regards to those. So, you know, overall, we think that her office did pretty well, but it didn't get an A-plus with us.
How are you expecting things to change in the Eastern District once Jeff Sessions is Attorney General and installs his U.S. attorney in that office?
We're bracing for a profound change, and we at CARE Michigan, like other organizations such as the NAACP, we have real concerns that the Attorney General and as well as the U.S. Attorney that's placed here in the Eastern District of Michigan we have concerns of whether they're actually going to enforce federal civil rights laws. When we have an attorney general that's coming in who's on record is saying that his major problem with the KKK was that they smoke cannabis, I think that's very problematic. And I think the Ku Klux Klan has much bigger issues than some of them smoking cannabis, be it illegal or even medical marijuana. I think that doesn't bode very well for us in the civil rights community.
If there winds up being some sort of registry for Muslims, as Donald Trump has suggested, how will CARE respond?
Well, we will be prepared to file the appropriate legal action, but that may take years to exhaust itself. The listeners need to keep in mind there have already been registries for Muslims. Starting in the Bush administration, there was a program called NSEERS in which immigrants had to register the federal government, a special registry, and there were many people who were deported without being found guilty of any criminal activity, and families were broken up from New York City and Bay Ridge, Brooklyn to Wrighton, Dearborn. So there was a registry that President Obama just recently, less than a month, did away with that registry. But then we have another de facto registry, which we are also suing the federal government about right now, which is the suspected terrorist watch list, as well as a no-fly list. There's close to 1 million Americans on that. We believe that the vast majority of those are Muslims, and we're suing the government about that right now. So there is already a type of watch list or a registry in place for Muslims. I mean, no one's going up registering saying, I'm a Muslim. It's people being put on the list. But what I would say to those who are listening, it's not simply about us being prepared to file the appropriate legal action. We need Americans of goodwill who are not Muslim to contact their senators to say, we are not in favor of any type of special registry for people based upon their national background or religion. Before we get to a situation where there is a registry that's legalized that, God forbid, could open up the door to like what happened during World War II with Japanese Americans. It seems to be that there are many people in the political establishment are very poor students of history. And our government decades later had to give a formal apology to Japanese Americans and actually authorize some reparations, even though that never made those families whole for what happened. And we don't want to see that happen, and particularly to those who live in this area where there are about 300,000 Muslim Americans.
Dawood Waleed, Executive Director of CARE, the Council for American Islamic Relations of Michigan. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much, Cynthia.